So the other form of meditation is to meditate on the cosmic purpose. And this is to meditate on one of the traditional forms of the Lord. In the Eastern texts, they're given in the form of riddles. And they are, as a matter of fact, in the Christian texts, but this has always been played down. But the Gospel says quite clearly, Christ always spoke in parables. And if you look at the text, what it says, lest the people should understand. You think, what? That part of the Gospel is always read very quickly. He always spoke in parables. And he said, I speak in parables, lest they should understand. You think, what? Well, for Christians, I suggest that to identify these places, and it comes more than once in the Gospels. And then to look at some of the parables. And if they're read with attention, we'll find there's a riddle in them. Everybody knows the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow and cast the seed, and some fell on the roadside, and it was trampled underfoot. Some fell among thistles, and the thistles choked it. Some fell on the rock. That's not the way you sow. Throwing seed on the road, throwing seed on the rocks, throwing seed among thistles, that's not how you sow. You make a furrow, put the seed in the furrow, cover it over. There's a riddle. Now, people who meditate, who make the picture vivid from one of these, for instance, gospel stories in the West, or in the East, one of the traditional riddles there, and meditate on it, and try to find there's a secret in it. And when that secret's found, there'll be a revelation. Well, so we're told, and the people are told to that if they want to try, they can meditate for 20 minutes on the sitting, the hilltop, throwing the thoughts away, empty. And then the second one, on the cosmic purpose. And this is done, one of the traditional ways is on these riddles in the traditional texts, to meditate for 20 minutes, making the picture vivid and then trying to penetrate what was happening there. And we can say, well, what is this going to do? The purpose, or one of the purposes of the meditation, is to make us free. Now, most of us have to circle round some point which we have to defend. When Hannibal invaded Italy, the Roman armies had to meet him. He was a general of genius. And they had considerable difficulty. And they were very much hampered because the Roman army always had to keep between Hannibal's army and Rome. Always. If Rome was here, they always had to keep here. If he moved around there, they had to be here. So they didn't have freedom of movement. He had freedom of movement. He could go anywhere. They often had great difficulty. Now, one general in Japan, in the era of the wars, followed the example of a general in China who didn't have a city to defend. And he was very successful because he had freedom of movement. And all other generals and warlords had to defend their city and keep between the invader. But this general had no city. He could go anywhere. He did a lot of damage before he was finally defeated by a confederation. If we can become independent of a particular setup which we feel we must defend at all costs, if we can have something independent in us, then we can have free freedom of action. We can say, oh, well, we've got to let it go. No, not necessarily. But not that you have to be tied to that. And One of the things that they do is to test one's flexibility. And in India, the great test used to be that the Brahmin had to serve one of the lowest caste with the food. And my teacher's teacher, in his time in India, the untouchable prejudice was still strong. And he was one of the first of the Brahmins to break this. And one of the things, when somebody came to him as a disciple, one of the things he had to do was to serve the food on the palm leaf to everybody present. And some of them were the so-called untouchables. And when they became able to do this freely, then the mind became flexible and the heart became free of this prejudice, which simply limited their movement. Well, he used to give that as an example. How we could say, well, what always happens with spiritual things is something that impresses. One does it with enthusiasm for a time, and then somehow it gets stale, and it gets tasteless, and let's have a bit of a change, do something else. Before the riddle is solved, let's go on to another one. Just like kids do when they can't do a sum, they think, well, let's try another one, maybe it'll be easier. No, the principle's the same. Or get the answer from someone. But that doesn't help because you haven't learned how to solve, how to do the sum. We go round, we search round. We like searching for water in the desert. We might find an oasis occasionally. Then you move on, you have to move on, you can't stay there forever, and then you're searching for water again.